All right. So I believe I am now recording.
You must be recording with your own equipment because it's not showing the indicator here.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how you do it with Jitsi. I just fired up OBS and hit the record button. Did a quick test and it seemed to work, so.
Welcome back, Tom. Did not expect to see you back so soon. Tom, I see you've typed in the chat room. Is your microphone not? He says he is not able to receive audio.
There we go. Someone always has a few technical difficulties. Someone always has a few technical difficulties.
I've shared the call-in line number in the chat room. He wants to try that method. That'll probably solve the issue.
Yeah, probably.
We did see Matt Santanastasio last night, and I asked him if he was going to make it here, and he did indicate he'll be stepping out of the church service that he's going to be attending. He'll be at he's not a Catholic, but his child goes to a Catholic school in Richmond, New Hampshire, and he reported recently that the don't remember the name. Benedict's, I think St. Benedict's Cathedral or something. That the pastor there or the brother gave a speech last week, which is why he wasn't with our meeting last week, because he was there watching it. Gave a speech that was very pro independence, pro secession, sounded very excited about it. And the audience, I guess, was also into it. So very positive. Response, at least from that particular congregation.
Yeah, it's always good to hear. There seems to be a lot of positive responses to it. It seems to be the politicians that seem to be more scared of it than anything else.
Have a new joiner there on the phones. Who do we have? Good morning or good afternoon.
Tom Plouger, hello.
Hello, Tom. Welcome back. Did not expect to see you here so soon.
Your volume is really low. I don't know why that is.
He's on a phone. I don't think you can change that.
No, I'm on a landline. Is better?
I can hear you.
Okay.
You're clear enough. So I'm curious, since we have you here, Tom. You're one of the folks who had joined us for a few meetings, and I ran into you at the State House. If you don't mind putting you on the spot here, you had shared with us that you had had a few people contact you from your area who were against independence, but no one contacted you who was in favor of independence, with the exception of the activists whom you already were aware of. And that was what inspired you to vote against the or to vote, I guess, in favor of ITL in that case. And I'm just wondering if you could expand for our listeners here on your thought process and what would change your mind for future efforts to come on board. Is it just simply the numbers of people who contact you?
No, to be real quick, if you go back to the online printed comments, I was here following this movement from the beginning so I could understand both sides of it to see where it was going. Ideologically, I do have no problem with bringing this before the people to have a choice. Now, saying that, I ran to represent my district. So no one's reaching out to me here. So I was proactive when I talked to people. I brought it up, especially at the beginning. And I had no positive responses. Most of them didn't even understand the concept. I had to explain the whole whole thing to them, where our Constitution says we are a sovereign, independent state. And even when I showed some, even to the veterans, they had no inkling to separate from the Federation. Eventually, I had to stop bringing this up into conversation because it wasn't going anywhere. Basically, that's it. I represent not my agenda, not my personal one, nor the Republican Party's. I represent constitutional the best I can in the system we have, the constitutionality, and my interactions with the constituents here. So basically, that is why I did not see enough outreach or interest, Stephen, in this, other than the Liberty Freedom Community, which is, I don't see it large enough to make the leap to support that. 32. CRC, the CACR 32. So that's about the best I can give you for now, unless you have some definite questions for me.
I see Stephen's got his hand up. I don't think we need to raise hands here, but you're certainly welcome to go, Stephen.
Hi, Tom. I don't know that we've ever met. I'm Steve Axelman.
Yes, we did meet one time.
Where was
Apparently,
that?
I can't remember when, but I do. I didn't recognize your name a while back, but somewhere along the way, we did pass.
Okay, you
And
probably know my son Elliot from Liberty Block.
might have been at one of the rallies at the State House. There was a lot of.
Anyway, I appreciate your being here. I kind of like what you're saying. It's interesting that from what I've heard third hand, other representatives have seemed to say the exact opposite, that they don't care what their constituents want. We're a republic, not a democracy. And they're going to vote what they believe. So I'm just kind of fascinated by that.
Okay, there's a few things. No, this is a republic, and even on my site, I had posted on some county stuff that about 40% of my constituents wanted me to vote one way. I voted with the 28% because my due diligence, and the 40% were mostly cut and paste propaganda from certain parties. So I represented the best I could by eliminating, giving weight to different interactions. If you're just going to call me up and yell at me, you don't get much weight to someone who tries to explain their views, even if it's opposite to me. So it's a weighted thing I represent. It's not a democracy. Oh, if I could add something, Steve, it is realized this November, the Secretary of State will be, I'm not sure how it works, notifying the legislator of a state constitutional convention in November. Are we aware of that? Where a new bill could be, or the representatives could bring this forth again?
As I understand it, the representatives can bring the constitutional question forward on a ballot once every 10 years, but if they do not do it, then it automatically appears on the ballot. So this will be the 10th year. The last time was 2012. So it will be appearing on the ballot whether the representatives want it or not.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that. Thank you.
That's my understanding.
I thought I had to actually be brought forth again.
No, so this is going to be an interesting occasion. In 2012, it was, I believe, voted on only about by about 30-something percent, like 35 or 34 percent of the voters, so it didn't even come close to passing. But it'll be interesting to see how it does this time around.
Well, we heard the state and federal committee speak on this, and you heard the representatives who put in their say against it, and I am not aligned with those. I read the Constitution different than they do. Some people brought up other historical figures, how they would feel, and I sit back, and no one brought forth that those historical figures used to be British officers who had revolted, and we had the 13 states in a confederation with the Articles. They never say that if we lost the revolution with the King George, we could never try it again. Well, that's the analogy they were using, and it makes no sense, even common sense. You just is not the same. So along those lines, bring back historical figures. Many of them were British officers. So that falls. A lot of their comments in that committee, I was surprised there was no pushback. Just want to bring that forward.
Yeah, there was a lot of errors and issues with some of the counterpoints. I don't think the message is quite, had a chance to get out there as to why independence. And some of the speeches, that were pro-independence really focused on defending as opposed to, explaining why it's in our interests as citizens of New Hampshire to go independent. There's a lot of things we can't do at the state level that would benefit, us that we can't currently do. There's a Supreme Court ruling is a good example that obligates businesses in New Hampshire to collect sales tax on behalf of other states, even though we don't have a sales tax ourselves, just as one example. But there's many other examples like that.
Going back to or oppose this. I have my own views, but I am not an active one to go out and propagize this or oppose it. This the thing I see is the average working person, the citizen here, has no idea of the logistics or even the constitutionality or the idea of being a separate country. It is, they cannot even visualize that. So how does that message get out there? I'm not sure.
Well, I think that if it were to be put on the ballot, then the message would definitely get out there a lot more, because then the debate would finally be happening. Then the people who want to stay with the union would dig in and buy billboards and, you know, write newspaper editorials. And there were a few newspaper editorials, but really it didn't go beyond the newspaper and an occasional online article, and not even every newspaper carried a story about it. So there were a few letters to the editor. The Keene Sentinel did a couple of pieces, actually, because Matt Santanastasso is from this area. But there was very, very limited amount of coverage. So I think if the representatives had voted to go put it on the ballot, that's what would have really created the conversation, because then it would have been a real thing. It would have been, you know, an important thing at that point, but we didn't get to that point. What would change your mind next time around, Tom? Would it just simply be an understanding on a part of a fraction of the people that you had talked to? It wouldn't have had to have been the majority, right?
Not a majority. No, I need input from the constituents of mine and from the state on thinking outside of certain movements or organizations, just your regular person who wants to understand this or has an idea of it. That's what I would need to see. You have to realize many of the CACRs did not pass. There was many of them that did not get through the House. It just wasn't this one.
Yeah, I saw they tabled all the marijuana ones. I guess that's because they're trying to favor
I voted against the marijuana one that included a bank and a state tax.
Oh.
I had brought forth to some reps, it was probably too late, that the marijuana tax revenue to the state, whatever way you want to phrase it, should be used to replace federal mandates, federal funding. If we could use any revenue, state revenue from the sale of cannabis to eliminate federal funding in the schools, federal funding in the hospitals, that would be one step. If they get another avenue of thought of the separation of the federation from the states' rights. I don't see this going anywhere until we have both the executive and legislature branch understanding the 9th and 10th articles of the, bear with me, U.S. Constitution, and also of the New Hampshire. They dance around them. Just like we have a constitutional mandate for article for no unfunded mandates, and they're still being passed. So, once again, we write these rules and laws, and they're not followed. And even an independent state, do you think in a couple scores how that will be? Debased down the road, an independent constitution. But going back to the reality your group has is need to get the word out to get more legislative input. Other than, well, I think it was just mainly three representatives who came out vocally for this. I think the question was, I need some input, because I represent my district first, then my area, then the lakes, then the state. That's the way I look at it. So if it harms my district, but it helps the state, I might vote against it. It depends on what my district gives me. I feel like I have a decent input.
If there were, let's say the next year, if there was a bill to create a study committee on the subject of New Hampshire independence, would that be something that you could get behind?
The idea of it, yes, I see nothing wrong. I would not oppose anything like that. Depending, of course, you know how it's written, how it's being implemented, that would matter, but I would not oppose that. I do not like study committees, but depending how it's written, some study committees have over 24 people on them. That goes nowhere. And that's a fiscal issue. But yes, because it's some have brought forth. How do you do the military? How do you do your banking? A lot of questions that I didn't have answers for. A lot of them are veterans. A study committee could answer many of the interactions of this web that has been formed between the Federation and the states. Needs to be broken. I shouldn't even say broken. It should be renegotiated. I see renegotiation.
Sorry, I missed what you were saying there. I might have been talking over you accidentally. I couldn't hear you.
I don't need to monopolize this. I just came in and to see what the...
Oh, no, I don't think you're monopolizing anything. I mean, we're normally pretty quiet without Dave Ridley here to kind of, you know, walk us through whatever. He's usually got an agenda, and he's not here, so I saw you sitting there, and I thought, well, this would be a good time to get some feedback from somebody who's friendly but didn't vote with the bill, so I just thought it would be... useful, and I expect other people agree with me on that.
Yes.
So what, I mean, I don't know if you heard my question about what do you think a good way to reach these people is. I mean, if there's total ignorance about the subject, you know, it's, I don't think a newspaper letter to the editor is going to cut it. So are there local Republican meetings where we might be able to get a speaker to come in, or do you have any other, you know, groups that are local that might want to have a discussion?
Well, it's funny you say that, because you shouldn't want to take a political party. The Democratic and Republican parties have monthly meetings, I know, at least in the Belknap area. There's one in Plymouth for the Democrats, and there's in Guilford for the Republicans. They have monthly meetings. I have both of those websites on my page, but they're public, easy to Google. That's another thing was questioned. I just brought that up. Yeah. As I just said, I even have the Democratic website on my page, because I was asked, it was mentioned that I don't have it. I'm one-sided, so.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to limit it to political parties either. I just don't know what other groups might be present or interested. I don't know if it's, you know, the Lions Club or veterans, et cetera.
Now that you mention the Lions, organizations like that, or even if you could get a veteran who could speak to the veterans groups, or even the regional fairs and local fairs, set up a booth for, you know, $20 and put a table up. That, you know, and put it out there. Talk to your senators and contact your senators and your reps on this. Because with no support in the House, it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And someone like mine, you know, I would need some people who are interested, so I would have a reason. Otherwise, it's just my agenda, and I didn't see any. It was not going anywhere. It's, you know, I try not to push just my agenda. There's more than enough to do out there. But yeah, reach out to...
I think that's a good idea. I think the fair outreach is a good one. I used to do that here in Cheshire County until they booted me out. I'm essentially banned from the fairgrounds.
Yeah,
but somebody else certainly...
that's another issue, I'm certain. groups and areas can get blackballed.
Yeah, but it was a good way to reach thousands of people. And,
actually, there was an article in the Laconia Sun, Daily Sun, yesterday or the day before, about what's wrong with the free staters, and it was from someone who I had met and spoken with over the years, and he had written in, you know, what's wrong with them? Ask them for freedom, be left alone, less government, more responsibility, what's wrong with that? And I was tired of hearing this, coming from one side of the political spectrum is that they're attacking people in the Belknap area too on who they're associated with. You know, guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
And political subset kind of uses that a lot.
I did, years ago, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence has been around for about a decade now, so when I was doing the fair outreach, it wasn't 100% focused on independence, but we did have some flyers there 1 year, and when I ran out of whatever other flyer I was really promoting, we did just a blitz of Foundation for New Hampshire Independence flyers, and just there were a lot of people just coming through going to a demolition derby, so there weren't many people stopping to talk, but I did hand out, I don't know, a couple hundred flyers at least at that time. Most of the responses were very, very positive. So I think that if we do start doing that kind of outreach, it would be very good.
Go ahead. Sorry, Steve.
No, that's it. I think it's a great idea to do county fair outreach. There's no other place where you can get as many people in New Hampshire in as short of a number of days than the county fair, so that's a good one.
Steve, I'm not sure if you're around, but I know Ian was around way back when we were doing a feature, the jury outreach, way back in 08, 07. We were out there handing pamphlets, talking to people. It was out there. I know I was involved with a group of people who were putting it out into the faces of others, and to say that 15 years has never gone anywhere. No one is interested. Not even the people in courts.
Well, as someone who did that for years, I mean, I've done it for, I don't know, most of the last 15 years. The only reason I stopped was because during COVID, they stopped having all the jurors come in simultaneously. They changed the way they did jury selection to where it would be an all-day event that where each juror would come in once every 20 minutes. So it became not feasible to spend 8 hours doing an outreach project that used to take 45 minutes. But I did get positive responses whenever I did do that. There was almost never somebody who was negative. I probably got 95+% of the people who walked in to take a flyer, and of those who actually might have come back out to move their car or whatever, if they said something, it was always positive. So it was always an appreciation for the information. I consider jury outreach to be a very successful outreach project, even though we can't per se. We can't necessarily tie it to any
court wins, because there's no one who is going to reach out to us and say, oh yeah, I used jury nullification. It just is not likely to occur. But I think as far as getting the information out, it was very successful. And I would continue doing it if they go back to their original jury selection model, and I should check on that.
Okay, now I would have to see someone like myself. If it could be shown to me, like with the jury outreach feature and the others, that people were interested and in support of that, but I didn't know about it, or they never contacted me on it. See, I have no way of knowing this.
The only way they caught would
other ideas. I'm just comparing it to other ideas like a CAPR 32. They might be in support when I try reaching out with a newsletter and even talking in person. I did it a lot in person when things came up. I had a chance to talk to people in the beginning, and I did not get any positive. So that's
how long did you do it for?
It startled me. Go ahead.
How many times did you go out there and do it?
Oh, wow. I know it's over 24 or 24 times individually, let's see. And one-to-one. I'm going to say less than 50.
Okay, so quite a few. You did quite a few. I mean, I've had nothing but positive responses, with the exception of the people that hate Free Staters or hate freedom. I mean, they'll every now and then just be rude to you in front of your face. But I mean, I'd have people that I just kind of run into, years later, just because, you know, it's a small town. So you run into people, and I'd have people say, hey, you're the guy from in front of the courthouse. I remember you. And you know, I'd ask them, oh, you know, did you read the flyer? And they said, yeah, and they really liked it or whatever. So I did get positive responses. I mean, if it wasn't,
now on seeing what New Hampshire citizens would like to do about this federal overreach, what alternatives they want, and this would be, but CACR 32 would be one of them, one way to give a response. I think they need to be vocal about it.
Hello, Matt. Good afternoon. Thanks for stopping in. Are you on a break, or are you still at the church? Uh-oh. I don't know if you got a good signal there.
Let me get on the Wi-Fi.
Can you hear me now?
Here's somebody. Was that Matt?
Yeah,
I'm back home.
Oh, okay, cool. For whatever reason, your microphone. Okay, there it goes. So welcome. Thanks for stopping by. We don't have Dave Ridley with us here, but good to have you here as one of the prime sponsors. We were just talking with Tom, who was another state representative who has shown an interest in the issue, but did not get contacted by any of his constituents. And of those constituents whom he reached out to, he found a lot of confusion, a lot of people not understanding. And, oh, Bonnie, I already filled that. A lot of confusion. And I just wonder, you've had some really positive responses locally. What was it like for you talking to people about this issue?
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's just a few people I ran into that I guess they just didn't really think about before, and they thought it was interesting. I don't want to say anyone in particular who it was, but
people in the community, I guess, that are technically in my district, probably four or five, you know, but I don't really talk about other issues much either, so it's not like that's more or less than anything else.
Is this thing still working?
I hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. So
I just thought, yeah, I got my video on now.
Get out of here, you idiot cat.
For a while, I'll keep that up. Hey, Matt, Tom Floshay.
Hey, what's up?
So, Matt, I wanted to get your input. One of the things we talked about last week was potential next steps. I mean, obviously, this was the very first opening salvo, and there's obviously going to be other things that can be done to move this issue forward. Tom was talking about doing, you know, some more outreach to the public, but as far as being a state representative, presuming, you know, of course, the big question is, will state the 13 folks who did vote in favor of this get reelected? And I think that'll be a big question a lot of the fence-sitting state reps are going to want to see answered. But presuming y'all get through in to the next session, then the question is, what should the next move be? Obviously, the same issue can come forward a second time, since this is the second year of the two-year session, so it could come immediately back around next year, or we could hold it off for 2024. There could be some other ideas put forward as far as potential legislation. I guess I'm curious if you've been thinking about that, or have you had any meetings with any of the other 13? And you know, what's the thought line?
Well, we haven't had meetings with the 13 of us. I guess we could put some sort of caucus together or something. I would say, like, just talking to other Republicans and stuff, they're pretty certain that this whole thing is political suicide. Even Republicans that didn't vote for this think that they're going to get kicked out because, you know, it's a Republican thing or whatever.
Wow.
It's actually the Republicans that didn't vote for it that are more worried about than the ones who did. But anyway, if the 13, I don't even know if all 13 people are going to run again, if they're planning on. I mean, I'm going to run again, but I don't know about the other 12. We should ask them if they're running again. And if they all get back in, I think we should be certain, if we're going to put this in again, we should be certain that we're going to have more than 13 people vote for it. If we put it in again and we have less than 13, I don't think that's going to be, that's not going to look good. If we're going to put it in again, we can put it in the first year or the second year, but not both. So if we put it in the first year and have less than 13, then we don't have the opportunity to put it in the next year. So, So we might not need to rush on it and make sure that that'll give us more time to, you know, to whip people and to see if we get more than 13. At least get the original 13 to say that they're going to vote for it. And then if we can pick up more, I'd like to get more than 20, really. But the whole question is whether or not everyone's going to get reelected again. I think it's not going to affect the election at all. I don't think anyone's going to care. You know, I think people are going to go vote for Republicans that vote for Republicans. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like this issue is really support. It's more about getting, you know, the message out. We need to do a very good job of getting the message out as to, like, why people should vote for it, as opposed to, you know, support. Because, I mean, if you start looking and talking to people, it seems like there's a lot of support. It depends on, like, who specifically you're asking. If you're asking, you know, like, for example, Union Times thing, I know it wasn't scientific, but 78%, I thought that's pretty good. Some of the other more general polling that was done elsewhere wasn't that high. That wasn't specific to New Hampshire, but it also showed support for independence. I don't know. It seems more like people, different politicians. Like, you got Democrats living in a bubble, you got Republicans living in a bubble, we're living in a bubble, and then there's the rest of the population. But
Yeah, that's how it is. I try to talk to the regular population about when I do, and they just, I mean, they don't seem like they're scared of it or anything. They just have a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's more about people having questions than anything else. And then the politicians being afraid to vote for it because they think they're not going to get reelected. But I mean, I don't know, like, I tend to suspect you're right. I suspect it's more of politicians overestimating the knowledge base of their you know, the voters, you know, the voters, most of them don't know who the who they're voting for in the first place.
Yeah, that's how it is. These people that are scared that they're going to get voted out because they voted for this, they overestimate the knowledge of the public. Nobody's paying attention in New Hampshire House. I didn't pay attention to it until I got put in it.
Sounds about right. So you mentioned a potential caucus, which was an idea that got thrown around last week as well. Obviously, we can't make things happen that we want to see happen with the House, but I think that would be a great way to move this forward. Create a caucus and have some occasional meetings, and then, you know, you guys might be able to brainstorm some stuff that that we can't, that we haven't thought of, especially with the input of people like Mike Sylvia, who've been in for a long time and, you know the ropes, know the different options. I know Max Abramson had talked about doing a piece of legislation instead of doing a CACR, which he claims that, and this was surprising to me, but he claims that the legislation can do anything. So if there's legislation to put a question on a ballot, that in theory could happen. I also liked Justin O'Donnell's idea that he put on Twitter to create a recurring question. So kind of like how there's a recurring question that goes on the ballot once every 10 years of should there be a constitutional convention, there could also be a recurring question that goes on the ballot once every 4 years or, you know, 2 years or whatever, to ask people if they want to stay in the union. And that might be another way to put a similar bill forward without it being a constitutional amendment and keep it more of a positive kind of question. So it wouldn't be a question about, you know, independence, or the bill itself wouldn't be a move for independence, but it would be, you know, just saying, hey, shouldn't we just ask this question? And I know that's kind of seems repetitive, but it would be, I guess his idea was to put it in as a bill, and then it wouldn't have to pass as many in the state house. But further, the bad news, the bad side of that is it would still have to get through Sununu. So either way, it's not going to be an easy road. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting approach.
I mean, isn't that basically what was done for the independence bill? I mean, it wasn't putting, you know, independence before the legislature to vote on. It was only putting whether or not it should be on the on ballot so that the people can vote on it anyway. And they weren't even willing to do that. So,
yeah, you're right about that. But his approach I thought was interesting, to say let's make it a regular question. So instead of just putting a one-off question on the ballot, let's keep polling people about it. If it's not popular now, maybe it will be, you know, in 4 years. It was just a different way to approach it. So if you wanted to put in a bill that was not exactly the same, because remember, you can only put the same bill in, you know, once every session. So if you wanted to have a variant, that I think would be something that maybe a caucus could look like, all right, well, what can we do this year? For instance, Tom Plesage did indicate that he would likely be willing to support a study committee bill. So that might be one of those sort of halfway points where we could get some extra people to say, well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with studying the question.
I like the idea. I don't know. It would be interesting to see where it goes, right? Like, does it actually have more support? And if it does, I mean, that's progress. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if it's going to get, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't think it's not worth, I think it's probably worth shooting for, but.
It was Tom. I'm not sure if I got the floor.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay. Just what Matt was saying in the ballot now, each town, I think many of the towns, you only need, you know, 25 people to put on a resolution on the town warrants, as a town warrant, that they want to, they're in favor of having the state legislature get together to discuss federal overreach. This is the only reason I believe, I'm just going to say, the people who wanted this CACR 32 go through was because federal overreach. So if that can get on towns, that would draw in at least the topic of conversation across the state. That was just a thought from what Matt was saying.
That's an excellent excellent idea, given the low bar that it would take to get that on board, 25 signatures, and then it goes to the town meeting. Very good.
Even if it's not passed, it just tells people like me how many people in the towns in the state, and then from there on, see if it grows.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent idea. Yeah, begin to have a count of how many people want it. I think that's great, actually.
As I said, I'm not encouraging or suppressing this, but it was a thought for, you know, how do you get ideas out there? That's one way.
And yeah.
The only thing about... Oh, sorry. Still going. I was just going to say, they could reword it during town deliberative. So even if you put that in, that, you know, there's a good chance they'll just reword it so no one can ask it.
Yeah, it's always on... words have meaning. It's how it's presented. Because there's going to be another opposition to it even being, you know, discussed. There's many in power here in the state that don't want many subjects to be discussed. I think Matt and I have seen that firsthand. I might run a little bit beyond my liberty, Matt, but that's what I notice in the House. There's two ideologies that are controlling this state. People are somewhere stuck at the bottom of it.
A question from a non-town person, since I live in Keene. When you get the 25 questions in, does it then go to the town meeting where they finalize it and then it puts it on the ballot? Is that the process?
That's how I understand it. And during that town deliberative, anybody can just make a floor amendment to make it say anything they would want to say. Which, if it was something about like New Hampshire separating from the United States, someone could just go on the floor and just say, "I want to say this," and then they'll have a vote, and then it will just be completely gone.
Yeah, we had them do that to Conan's things that he put in for the school board, because the school board runs in a similar fashion here in Keene, so I'm familiar with that. I remember there was some legislation to try to keep those amendments to not go too crazy. I don't remember the exact wording of it, but to limit floor amendments on those things to not be able to completely change the intent. I don't remember if any of that ever passed, though.
I'm not really an expert, but I know someone in town who's kind of understands the process, so I'll ask him what's the possible things that could happen if we tried something like this.
Another segue off, so you have a feeling out in at least my district. We hear about the school board. And how everybody was, you hear, everybody was all upset about masking, social distancing, and all this hubbub-a-loo in the school system. But in my district, every one of the school board members got voted right back in. And they got voted in on saying they're going to protect your child. That's their job. Do I agree with it? I don't. No, I don't, but every one of them got voted back in. So that's the feeling out this way. Even in the school where I hear across the state there was a big uproar over the masking and controlling the children, and they didn't get the votes to put in these people who are fighting it. So that's what I hear out my way. And I'm just making an analogy between this and having the people make a decision on leaving the Federation. That's it. Just want to make that comment.
So, Matt, is it a caucus? Is that some sort of official thing that you have to file, you know, paperwork with the state for to say, we have a caucus, or is it just like an unofficial, we're meeting at this room at this time, come join us? Do you know, what's that process?
I'm not really sure. I know there's rules that protect caucus, like if you have a caucus that, you know, the information is privileged to the members of the caucus, but I don't know if you have to file something or anything like that. Take a look into that and see what the deal is.
I think it'd be great if there was an independence caucus, you know, which could be a growing group, you know, something that people eventually might want to join. It could create new ideas, so I would love to hear news that continues on.
I believe there's enough representatives voting along the Liberty Freedom line, you know, say 50% of the time that there should be enough people there. Now, would they actually step forward and develop and join a caucus is another question, because as it was mentioned, many are worried about their next election, their politicians. I'm worried about the next generation. I'm a public servant. So, there's a difference here. I forgot that this is going to come back and kick many people in the election, because the opposing candidates will use it against them. Just it's propaganda, you know, energize the mob.
Well, I think a lot of us really hope that the Democrats bring this back as an issue for the election, because it would give us a chance to talk about it some more. So we I think that'd be great.
Well, I just, once again, I don't want to use a party rhetoric, and I don't get involved in it. But even in party primaries, I think this will be used to try to remove people because of their, because they try to represent the people. And give people a choice. So I think it'll be happening in the primaries also.
Well, I think we're good for now, or?
Yeah, it feels like we're the team here.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Let us know if there's anything else we can do to help. and appreciate your time, and thanks, Tom, for coming in, and everybody else.
Okay, guys.
Yep.
I'll be watching. Take care.
Good day.
See you, Tom, and see you guys.
Bye, everybody.